MENA Watch, der unabhängige Nahost-Think Tank.
Welcome to MENA Talk. My name is Jasmine Arimi. I am a journalist at MENA Watch. And joining me today is geopolitical analyst Paul Shalilas and Dr. Lauren Dagan-Amos from Israel. In today's episode, we will be talking about the actual India-Israel relations with a closer look to cross-border terrorism. Nice that you are both here. Would you describe the current relationship between India and Israel at a strategic level, especially in defense and technology?
So, namaste. I will describe it as a strategic partnership that is mutual from a defense pushment into a border capability partnership. Defense remains central, but the relationship now includes cybersecurity, quantum intelligence, agriculture, agriculture, homeland security, invasion ecosystems, and potentially a connectivity project. At the defense level, Israel has been important for India because it offers combat tested, technologic fast delivery, and politically reliable cooperation. At the technologic level, both countries see invasion as a national security asset, not only as economic transfer. This is why the relationship increasingly focuses on joint development, technologic transfer, startup cooperation, and reliance supply chain. The key point is that India does not see Israel merely as a supplier. It sees Israel as a high trust strategic partner that can help India strengthen deterrence, border security, and technological self-reliance. In the 2025 Defense Cooperation, the MOU, and the 2026 Joint Statement point clarified this direction.
Yeah, and just one thing to add, that in February 2026, when Prime Minister Modi visited Israel, in the Knesset also, it was like he received a very good response. And this relationship has now been elevated to the special strategic partnership. This is very important to note also, which only very few countries have with Israel.
What factors have led India and Israel to build closer ties over the past 10 years, beyond just arms deals or official agreements? Can you evaluate there something?
Well, I think this is something that Lauren and I have been working together. We also wrote an article on it recently, which came out in the Jerusalem Post. And I think we both believe this, that defense deals may launch ties, but people-to-people relations between the two countries is what sustains the relationships, and also it normalizes the ties between people of the two countries. And things like everyday encounters, you know, this can happen when people are working in each other's countries or where there are cultural exchanges and maybe more labor mobility and even regular friendships, and where there is a possibility of doing life together. So this kind of thing is really important. And this has been happening, especially within the last decade, more and more, you know. So first is the defense and governmental ties, and then we come down to the next layers. And, you know, I just think it's important to know that, especially in the last, I would say, like 5 to 6 years, people have taken in India have taken a big interest in Israel, in understanding what Israel is like, because there is more government connection. So it's more in the media, let's say. And then it turns out that we share so many similar values, you know, similar culture, like the warmth, you know, the diversity, the tradition, the democratic energy, you know, these things are common between the two countries. And also another point is that the Jews have never faced anti-Semitism in India, you know, like we're talking historically. In fact, even post-Holocaust, which very few people know, India was a safe haven for even European Jews who, you know, found found a safe haven in India. So this is only, this has come more to the surface in India or Indian media in the last decade or so. So I think we are in this, we're in a very good phase at the moment, I would say. Yes, Lauren.
If I may add, we can also consider the regional environment that has changed. The Abraham Accords, I2U2, IMEC initiative, and the stronger India-Gulf relationships have made it easier to India to deepen ties with Israel without paying the same diplomatic cost in the Arab world. So we need to take this also when we think about Israel and India relationship.
How has the cooperation in defense and advanced technology helped both countries deal with asymmetric threats? Both countries have to deal with asymmetric threats. We can talk about this a little bit later, such as attacks from small armed groups or cross-border militant people.
So the most important contribution is not only the hard war, is the logic of response. Both India and Israel face adversaries that often operate below the threshold of conventional war. These advertisers use terrorism, rockets, drones, cyber operations, propaganda, civilian spaces, and complement deterrence. If I may add, next week we will the Sindor operation, it will be 1 year since the Sindor operation, and we can see that Israel and India relationship are much closer after this operation. So defense and technology cooperation helps in three ways. First, it improves detection through surveillance sensors, UAV, satellites, cyber tools, intelligent fusion. Second, it improves response through the perception ability, air defense, rapid mobilization, and combat and control system. Third, it strengthens deterrence by making it harder for hostile actors to believe they can attack without the consequence. For India, it's very highly relevant after 2016 surgical strike and 2019 blackout airstrike, and of course 2025 Sindor operation. So these cases show that India is trying to create a new model of calibrated conventional punishment below the nuclear threshold. So in my own perspective, India and Pakistan crisis, that India moved from a reactive crisis management to a strategic punishment and deterrent. And for India and Israel, there is a lot of similarity that they can work together.
I also believe like this close cooperation with Israel has enabled India to strengthen its policy of the zero tolerance towards terrorism, which is very important. You know, terrorism will not be tolerated at any level. And that is the Prime Minister's very open statement. And I do believe that this close cooperation with a militarily powerful country like Israel makes it possible to even come up with such statements.
Maybe to break it down a little bit to the core and for people which are probably not so much in the topic, of which borders are we both talking in Israel, and of which borders are we talking now when we talk about India?
You want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead with the Israeli one.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You can answer for Israel and you can answer for the
please don't remove this thank you, it was great.
of course
It's a very hard question, but it's very necessary. The border walls and fences can reduce infiltration, but they cannot eliminate. Their effectiveness depends on territorial intelligence, equality, political will, and the ability to respond quickly once suspicious movement is detected. India's border is extremely difficult to secure, as Israel in the north and in the south and in Gaza and whatever border you put your finger there. And it's pretty much I don't want to undermate for any side, but as India faced with Pakistan, mountains and militarized, so with also with Bangladesh and China, we dealing with the Hezbollah from the north. From south we have Hamas, and although we have peace with Jordan and Egypt, you can see this is not the real relationship that Israel will and want, and we hope that maybe IMEC will make things much better. But I think there is a lot of similarity, and we before you said that we have a shared democratic values, etc. So we share the same threats. The same threats from the borders, inside and outside our country, same as India.
Yeah, I think that is a very important point, because both countries face a lot of threats inside that people forget as well. I mean, Israel in particular, with Judea, Samaria, with the West Bank, you know, it's all like there's the Jewish villages, Arab villages, and of course the southern border with Gaza and also Egypt, Jordan on the east, Lebanon, Hezbollah on the north. As far as India is concerned, so talking about geographically, because our European audience may be less aware of the borders of India. So you have Pakistan on the west, and you have in the north, you have China, Nepal, which is a friendly country, but India and China are not good friends on many levels. And then there is the threat coming from Bangladesh, which is increasingly radicalized. There's been in the recent past number of like horrific, brutal acts based on Islamist ideology towards the minorities in Bangladesh. And there is a real threat of Bangladeshi or cross-border terrorism coming from Bangladesh through entering India through Calcutta or Kolkata, which is on the eastern part of India, which happens to be also my city of birth. So I'm personally even connected in case of any threat happening there. And it's important to note that the Pakistani defense minister, the same guy who takes on some very bad, nasty comments about Israel, also recently said something about people entering India from Bangladesh. So it is nothing to take lightly, you know. So these are the borders of countries surrounding India. So there is lots of possibilities for both countries actually coming from different areas.
How effective are the border walls, surveillance systems, rapid response forces in preventing in India and also in Israel, militant infiltration, and also alongside India's borders?
So India is not simply copied Israel. India adapt Israeli lessons selectively to its own their own strategic environment. The main lesson India has drawn from the Israel is the importance of intelligence-led security. Israeli experience shows that counterterrorism cannot rely only on their retaliation after the attack. It requires persistence, surveillance, early warning, rapid intelligence assessment, and the ability to respond quickly and precisely. Unfortunately, not the things that happened in October 7. Second, India has learned from the Israelis use a layered border security, physical barriers combined with the sensors, drones, patrols, camera, and rapid response forces. Third, India has observed the idea of a calibrated response, as well as long as try to respond to attacks in a way that restore deterrence without necessarily trigger a full-scale war. India has moved to a similar direction after attacks such as Uri in 2016 and 2019 and Pangalham in 2025. The objective is not only retaliation but strategic signaling. However, India's context is different. India faces the Pakistan nuclear armed adversary, and China is a major power. So the geography is much larger, and its domestic security environment is more diverse. So therefore, the Israeli experience is a reference point, not a blueprint.
To what extent is the India-Israel partnership based on public opinion or shared innovation culture, civil society connections, rather than only strategic or military interests?
Well, I think political opinions do matter a lot. I mean, they enable partnerships, maybe, but you know, political opinions, especially of the opposition, they may influence opinions of the public, but they don't define the partnerships, because that is still done on a governmental level with the ruling party. Now, one thing, when the Congress party, which is the main opposition party in India, the Congress ruled India for a long time. Okay, so I mean, it was only 1992, just to give some context, that India, that diplomatic relations with Israel started in 1992. But the defense collaboration has been going on even before 1992. So, in fact, Israel helped also in the 1971 war. You know, India has fought many wars with Pakistan and also China, and it has relied upon Israeli help. But it was never made public so much. Somehow the rhetoric was always like support for Palestinian cause. But there was always like behind the scenes, you know, help taken from Israel. With the current government, with the Modi government, with BJP, it's become a very public thing, the Israeli defense partnerships, the collaborations. So it's become more in the consciousness of the public, of the people. They understand that Israel is a big help for India. So I think this is important to therefore distinguish. And the opposition party is very pro-Palestinian cause. So, but India, after all, I think this most people in India would understand, because of the constant threats that we faced from Pakistan, most people understand that ultimately for India, India comes first, Indian security comes first. And who is going to help India when it comes to making India secure is Israel. And that is coming more and more in the media and in the consciousness of people. Like Lauren mentioned about the Operation Sindoor, which was launched last year in response to the brutal Pahalgam attacks coming from cross-border Pakistan. The Operation Sindoor was a very precise operation, you know, and it dismantled the terror camps in Pakistan. And India also openly used Israeli defense technology. So people saw that. You know, people now know that, okay, Israel is a trusted, reliable partner. So India comes first, the security of the people comes first. As far as the innovations culture is concerned, I'll also quickly say that Israel and India are both, you know, they operate within this highly innovative ecosystem. And India also has the advantage of scale with a large young talent pool and a growing tech market. So they are really complementing each other. And this needs to be somehow, I feel like, talked about more and more. And on a civil society, I also believe like more connections need to happen. And it's already happening, like in terms of academic exchanges, or recently like the MOU was signed between the two countries about getting like up to 50,000 workers from India by 2030. So all these interactions are really important, you know. So so not just the strategic and military interests, as you asked, but also on that level.
India and also Israel are known as tech countries. How important is intelligence sharing nowadays for both?
I just think, I mean, maybe Lauren can give the details, but I think it's, you know, what is, you know, India has a lot of cooperation with different countries, military cooperation, defense cooperation. But what with Israel, what it has is more depth, I feel. Like, so it's not just intelligence sharing and technology. Israel gives more and more the technology, but it's produced in India, you know. So, and then Israel is, as I understand, sharing more. It's like the black box, you know, the more technology. And also, as we see in projects like the Barak 8 system, and also the integration of the Israeli UAVs and all, also intelligence. I think it's very important, especially based on the fact that in India, we spoke about the fact that there is terrorism happening from within, like there are sleeper cells, there is increased radicalization. So what the intelligence bureau in India, that's kind of like the internal agency of intelligence, so it constantly monitors the domestic terror networks, you know, radicalization going on, sleeper cells, and it has a very proactive approach to destroy the terrorist structures, including if it comes from across the border. So India is not shy to destroy terror networks, even if it is outside its territory. And Israel has helped a lot with this intelligence sharing. So
I think it's a very important triangle, US, India, and Israel, because all the three of them have interest in each other. Israel in relationship with the United States remains irreplaceable. The United States is still Israel primarily a strategic ally in military, diplomatic, technological, and in political terms. So India is not alternative to the United States. But India is definitely part of Israeli border strategy of diversification. Israel understands that the global power is shifting through Asia, the Indo-Pacific, and India is one of the most important actors. Actually, she is the lead of the Indo-Pacific. In that shift, India offers Israel a huge market, technological talent, diplomatic reach, and access to the Indo-Pacific and the global south. And for Israel, it's very important. And for Israel, the India provides three strategic advantages, scale, strategic depth to in Asia, and diversification behind the traditional Western framework. And for India, the Israel provides advanced defense technology, intelligence experience, invasion, and operational knowledge. So this is not about replacing the United States. It's about Israel building additional pillars of strategic resilience. And I think India, in the same way of thinking, that she cannot replace US because they have China, and Israel is one of diverse, she is a big factor in the diverse that India looking in the global arena.
I think US will always be Israel's biggest supporter, and I think we mustn't forget also on a people-to-people level as well, US has had a long-term relation with Israel. So India is still coming up slightly on that level. But I think more and more, though, if we look beyond just the US as allies, Israel's other traditional allies have been kind of unreliable, especially from Europe. So India is kind of a more solid partner. It has been over many years. It's only in the last decade, I think it's become more like public. But so I think as we, Israel needs to look eastwards, you know, as the Western allies are getting more and more unreliable. So
talking about Europe, how interesting could be an India-Israel partnership benefit Europe, especially regarding now concerns about rising terrorism, about hybrid warfare and regional instability?
So Europe could benefit from a strong India-Israel partnership in three main ways. First, counter-terrorism. India and Israel both extensive experience dealing with terrorism, cross-border militancy, intelligence failures, radical networks, and radical influence inside the country, a political consequence of mass casualty attacks. Europe faces different threats, but many of the operational questions are similar. Prevention, detection, intelligence coordination, and public resilience. Second, hybrid warfare. Both India and Israel face cyber threats, disinformation, drones in a gray zone, conflict. Their cooperation can product a useful lesson for Europe, especially in protecting critical infrastructures, airports, ports, energy system, and digital networks. And third, the regional connectivity. India-Israel cooperation is linked to a border project such as IMEC. And for Europe, secure connectivity between India and the Middle East, Israel and Europe could reduce dependency of vulnerable routes and strengthening trusted supply chains. However, Europe should not accept India and Israel cooperation to function like formal alliance in pragmatic. Issue based and driven by national interest. And I think also from the Israeli aspect that the India-Israel relationship can really help now to face the, as you mentioned before, the public opinion that not so good on the Israeli right now. And I think this relationship can do really a good reputation for Israel.
Yes, I think the point about fighting disinformation, misinformation online together is a big factor because, you know, just recently I was working on an article and I was writing about this, the Indus Water Treaty, which was suspended by India after the Pakistan terror attacks last year. And water is a critical human resource. And just to give a little bit of context to our listeners is that the Indus River has like five river tributaries, like channels of rivers flowing from India into Pakistan. And Pakistan has control over some rivers, India has some, but because it flows from India and after this cross-border terrorism, Prime Minister Modi said, water and blood cannot flow together. So we suspend. Now, this is a very clear-cut, decisive action. Now, we did not see an outrage from the world, you know, but look at the outrage that Israel has been facing, you know, after Gaza attacks, you know, even though prior to the Hamas attacks, Israel always, it was only a small percentage of the water supply that came from Israel, but the outrage of the response was just so severe, you know. So I think if India kind of backs up Israel also and they come up with this message together that no, cross-border terrorism has real world consequences, you know, even if it is as so like crucial as water, I think it needs to send out this message that no, cross-border terrorism will not be tolerated. And so I think this partnership and a voice together is very important because Israel can't fight this war alone, information war. So it needs help.
Also, when we look at Pakistan and Turkey, they're deepening their cooperation at the moment. What impact could have like a partnership at NATO, on NATO and European security, especially the India-Israel relationship?
So the impact of on NATO will be indirect rather than a formal. India is not a NATO ally, and Israel's relationship with NATO is also limited and politically sensitive. But the India-Israel partnership can still matter for the European security through technology, intelligence, defense, invasion, counter-drone system, and regional balancing. The Pakistan-Turkey relationship is important because it connects South Asian security dynamics with the Middle East and the Eastern Mediterranean. And the NATO's southern flank, Turkey is a NATO member, but it's also pursues an independent regional policy. Pakistan, meanwhile, has deepened defense and political ties with Turkey, including cooperation drones, naval platforms, and support on Kashmir. From India's perspective, Pakistan-Turkey cooperation adds another layer to the threat environment. From the Israeli perspective, Turkey's regional activism is also strategic concern. Therefore, India and Israel cooperation may create a countwide in specific domains, counter-drone, technologies, intelligence, cyber defense, and defense industrial cooperation. And for Europe, the lesson is the South Asia security, as I mentioned before, Middle Eastern security and European security are increasingly connected. You cannot separate this regional. Arms transfers, drones technologies, energy routes, migration, and disinformation do not remain confined to one regime.
I think another important thing is that we, as you rightly said, Lauren, we cannot differentiate anymore. You know, there is so much like sleeper cells, similar ideologies, people moving not just cross-border terrorism from Lebanon into Israel or Pakistan into India. It's like it's a global connected world, like, right? So there is that. And another thing I want to mention is that, again, going back to a Pakistani minister, now I can't remember the exact name of him, but he's a fairly senior minister. He talks about openly that there are Hamas training camps in Pakistan. Okay, they're open about it. We know it's been proven several times, and Turkey does not hide the fact that Hamas leadership is in Turkey. So you know, you have these two countries, not only are they getting closer, I mean, I'm talking about Turkey and Pakistan, not only are they getting closer with this defense pact that they have, we've seen Turkish drones used in last year in Operation Sindur. So there is definitely that thing going on with Hamas in Pakistan and the leadership in Turkey. So what is the future for NATO? Okay, we've never seen a NATO country eliminate another NATO country, but I'm just wondering where this is all going, you know, with the US increasingly threatening, like, Spain, to kick Spain out of NATO. You can't really so easily kick out a NATO member, if I understand right. But what's the future, really? And also Hakan Fidan, the foreign minister of Turkey, talks about increasingly courting the idea of being a nuclear country or whatever. Pakistan is a nuclear country already, and in the past, they have the technology, they have the scientists who've helped Iran. I mean, I don't know where this is all going, let's put it this way, you know, but this is something that the public needs to be aware of. It's not just cross-border terrorism means Pakistan and India and Turkey and Israel, but it's everywhere. So, yeah, this is super important for Europe. But one other thing I just want to mention is that both India and Israel have very strong partnership also as far as surveillance is concerned. They are open about it, you know. Europe, the whole concept of surveillance is a little bit of a gray area, right? People don't like to hear the word surveillance. I mean, I'm in Germany. I know that people, you know, it's not a very good term to use. So people's... it's a negative term, I would say. So, but what is important when we fight global terrorism?
One last question. Where do you see the India-Israel partnership on a long term, like the next 5 years, in political messaging and also concrete project?
In the political aspect, the relationship I hope that will continue to be framed around invasion, counterterrorism, strategic resilience, and trusted partnership. India will continue to emphasize that strong ties with Israel do not prevent it from maintaining a relationship with the Gulf, Iran, and the Palestinians, and the Global South. Israel will continue to present India as one of the most important Asian partners. In contrary term, I accept growth in five areas: defense, co-production, cybersecurity, agriculture intelligence, counter-drone system, and air defense cooperation, and people-to-people relationship, academic aspect. I also accept more cooperation in water technology, food security, maritime security, and I wish that IMEC will finally go away. But the partnership will remain pragmatic rather than alliance based. India will not enter to a formal anti-Iran or anti-Palestine bloc, and it's okay. The independence foreign and defense policy, and we need to understand that. Israel will welcome India's support, but it will understand that India's diplomacy is multi-alignment, and this Modi's way, and this for right now it's work for India, so we don't need to, you know, to be obstacle in that way.
Yeah, I can only emphasize that point that India's foreign policy is really kind of like India's the real diplomat. You know, it will never take a stand that, yes, we are only pro-Israel and that's it. No, it will. Soon after Modi shook hands with Netanyahu, another Indian top minister shook hands with another top minister of an adverse country. So it's like, what comes first, you know, for India? This is their foreign policy. You know, India depends on Iran for fuel or the Gulf countries, and for Israel, it depends on other things, and that's the foreign policy. But talking about concrete projects, I just want to say that I'm very hopeful with the memorandum of understanding that was signed, especially in terms of labor mobility. So 50,000 workers from India in the next 4 years. So that is a huge deal. And that is to fill the void that Israel has after the lack of Palestinian workers doing certain jobs. But not only that, you know, there is more investment that's going to happen between the two countries, and trade. So that is really important. I think that is the future. So more people-to-people connections, and one way of doing it is this MOU on labor mobility.
Thank you a lot. That was geopolitical analyst Pausha Lilas and Dr. Lauren Dagen-Amor. Thank you for your time. Thank you also for joining us here on MENA Talk. My name is Jasmine Arimi. Stay tuned for more conversations about and across the Middle East here on MENA Watch. Thank you.
MENA Watch, der unabhängige Nahost-Think-Tank. Besuchen Sie auch unsere Website. Dort finden Sie täglich neue aktuelle Berichte und ausführliche wissenschaftlich fundierte Hintergrundanalysen zur Geschichte und Gegenwart der MENA-Region.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns!